Hello, this is John Bucher. I'm joined for a conversation today with the Senior Instructional Designer and Accessibility Specialist for Drexel University, Mr. Dan Allen. Also joining us is Judy Gearing, Associate Director of Instructional Design at Drexel. Welcome to both of you.
Hello,
Thank you.
To be here.
What do you see as the major challenge institutions face in terms of IT accessibility? This is something we all have to care about.
Sure. Well, I've been someone who's been in accessibility for well over 15 years. And I would say that part of what we need to do when we have our conversation on accessibility is dispel a lot of myths. And before we do, or until we do that, it's hard to move forward. So, for example, who's responsible for accessibility? Really, every member of the higher education community bears some responsibility. There are other myths such as accessibility is too technical to implement. And in fact, what we've learned is that a lot of what we need to do to make our content accessible is low-hanging fruit.
Sure. And I would add that another major challenge that we face right now is with the ubiquity of online learning and making sure that courses that we offer to students online have content that is fully accessible to all learners. And part of the challenge there is bringing our faculty on board. IT staff, you know, we're there, but we need to bring our faculty along too.
Well, what are some of the strategies that make the most difference in working with faculty to address this accessibility of digital content?
Well, the best approach is to look at it from their perspective. And we generally say there are three motivations for organizations to make their content accessible. One is that it's the law, and that is, you know, you read in the higher Chronicle of Higher Education that institutions are getting in trouble because their lawsuits are being brought against them because their content isn't accessible. So that's one motivation. Another motivation is the marketing argument that students with disabilities are a sizable portion of the population. The recent U.S. Census said they're about 10%. So that's a large market, and you don't want to disenfranchise them. But then the third argument, and this is the one that gets traction with faculty, is the moral ethical reason. And so you put the student in front of them, and you say, well, maybe you're teaching online, but, you know, the student is out there, and if the student is struggling with a disability, think how that student would be able to, or think what that student would have had to face years ago before there were online opportunities. And now there's the possibility with online content that a student, say, who is blind or who has a severe motor disability who can't navigate a brick-and-mortar institution can now get that education online, but only if we are working to make that possible. And if we do that, if you use that argument with faculty, you'll find that that gets a lot more traction than the other two arguments.
The U.S. Access Board is currently in the process of updating the IT accessibility standards that federal agencies must follow. Since many colleges and universities also use Section 508 guidelines as part of their accessibility standards, do you have a sense of what's likely to be different in the updated standards and how they might impact digital content accessibility?
Well, of course, it's hard for anyone to say at this point where it's going to go, except that we do know that Section 508 and the federal government are looking to expand ADA and make it specific for online spaces. The initial ADA legislation did not specifically address the web because the web was only emerging. So they are looking to expand that. How they're going to do that and what standards they're going to come up with, we don't know for sure. However, I can say that Section 508 relied heavily on WCAG 1.0, which is the World Wide Web Association's guidelines for accessibility. And it's not a requirement. The WCAG and W3C are not governing bodies, but they do come up with a lot of good ideas. That's their job. It's a likelihood that ADA will look toward recent developments in WCAG, which is now WCAG 2.0. And in fact, when the ADA a number of years ago sent out a questionnaire to the accessibility community and said, what should we do? What should we be considering in updating our standards? One of the questions was, should we be looking at WCAG 2.0? So it's likely that at least some of WCAG 2.0 will be part of the new ADA standard. And I think it's also likely that it will, some of at least WCAG 2.0 will be in Section 508. So I would say look at WCAG 2.0, which is really good legislation anywhere, not legislation, but it's a really good set of standards. And if you design your content for those standards, first of all, you're going to have pretty good accessible content. And second of all, you're probably doing a pretty good job of anticipating what the new laws and regulations will be.
As higher education publishers increasingly focus on transitioning to digital delivery of textbooks, are you noticing trends that campus IT leaders and professionals need to have on their radar? Judy?
Sure. I have to say we're seeing this, but we are not feeling the full effect yet. So we have not changed a lot of practices yet around digital publisher content. We do have occasional online courses when an instructor specifically requests to use a publisher's online content. But like I said, this is probably less than 10% of our courses at this time. That said, I think the biggest trend to be aware of and to have on your radar is related to delivery of those that digital content from publishers on mobile devices. And so I'm most excited about, for the student with the iPad, the smartphone, what is the content coming from the publisher doing in terms of them being able to access their content anytime, anywhere, and in a very easy way.
Now, this is something that you have to address to the publishers, right?
Correct.
It has to come from them.
That is correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this then. Where do you think higher education is headed with IT accessibility? And if you would, speak to my type of person, a manager of a campus information technology. I'm a CTO. What things do I need to know? We spoke about faculty. What do I need to know to make this easier for people like yourselves and for the people who have accessibility issues?
Well, the good news is, for those of us who are accessibility advocates, is that it is coming, maybe not as fast as we would have hoped years ago. But Judy and I have noticed that when we give talks on accessibility, as we did this morning, that our numbers are increasing, and the sophistication of the conversations that we have with the folks who attend are also reaching higher levels. People are becoming more and more aware of accessibility. Part of that is because there's more training, and training and education is an important part of what an organization needs to do to get ready for accessibility. Organizations, higher ed in particular, will become accessible because they'll have to. Because there is increasing amount of legislation that's directed that way. Have to because they're going to want to. As the organizations increase their online presence, they're going to want to be able to accommodate more and more students. One of the myths that we're always dispelling, by the way, is that accessibility is for a specific group. And in fact, while we are talking about students with disabilities, the best practices that we use in accessibility generally provide much greater usability for all of our students. So what you need to know within the organization is that you need to anticipate it. You need to talk about it from the top down. Grassroots movements toward accessibility are terrific, and they are a great resource. And I would say most organizations probably have people out there, whether they know it or not, who are banging the drum, even if it's a little drum, for accessibility. Find those people and use them as a resource, but they alone will not do it. The buy-in has to come in from the top, and then you have to work on training, and you have to make sure that all members of the community, the higher ed community, not just faculty, but certainly faculty, instructional designers, administrators, even students are part of the conversation on accessibility. And then you'll need to find a way to implement it, and that'll be really dependent on the way your organization is structured. And as important as implementing accessibility is, you'll have to find a way to routinely check, because there is backsliding. So, and that's inevitable once you make your content accessible, because online environments are so dynamic and changing all the time that you just need to constantly go back and revisit and make sure that you're following the best practices.
I would just add, Dan mentioned the importance of bringing everyone to the table for the conversation, and just add that conversation needs to happen very early in the process. So at the time that vendor selections and reviews are going on, to the extent that you can bring in end users who are very concerned with accessibility at that point. We heard a story this morning in our workshop of from a woman who said we were delivered a program that we needed to use, and only after it was purchased and installed did we find out it had no solution for accessibility. So that, you know, hopefully my advice to IT professionals is don't wait till it's too late if possible.
Well, we need to keep that conversation going from the middle, because if if in fact the grassroots doesn't quite get the job done, and if senior management doesn't quite get the job done, then those of us stuck in the middle need to pay attention to it.
Absolutely.
We've been lucky at Drexel because a very successful initiative has been the development of a group of people called the Online Learning Council. And we are those middle people. We're not the top. We're not fully the grassroots. But we are breaking down silos to have those conversations so that we increase our understanding. And we've got IT representatives on there. We've got faculty. We've got designers. So we are having those conversations.
Well, thank you much for your time today. As I said, you know, I think a lot of us don't know all of these things and need to be able to figure out where to go. Where's the next step? So thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.